Here on Easter Sunday will be Reverend Sid Laddie, and so we look forward to having him here. And also we're going to have the Windsor Community Choir, directed by Wendell Phipps, will be presenting an Easter musical called You Are the Christ during our Easter service this Sunday. So that will be a wonderful treat to have the message of Easter in song from his choir. So please come out if you're able. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer at this time. God, our Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, for your willingness to come to earth and live a life that was difficult and willingly go to the cross, and the torment that was endured was horrific. But Lord, you did that for us. You did that because of your love for us. So we thank you so much for that precious gift of salvation that was so costly, yet is so wonderful for us to have that hope of eternity with you. So Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you so willingly made. Lord, we just thank you for the ability and privilege to serve you in any capacity because of what you did for us. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to help us serve in this community and in this church as we continue our search for a pastor. Lord, we just pray for your provision. And Lord, we just at this time pray for our community that people will see the need for you amongst the turmoil in our world, that they will see the need for you and come to you as their Lord and Savior. But Lord, help us to be your instruments in whatever capacity you can use us with our friends and neighbors and family. Lord, help us to speak up and be bold and share about your love with others. Lord, we just can't thank you enough for the great sacrifice that you made, for the freedom that we have because of it. And Lord, we just take this time and are honored to be able to spend time here and sing praise to you and hear your word and the message that you've laid on Wendell's heart for us this morning. So Lord, just we just pray that we will be encouraged, that we will be blessed, and that we will be inspired to be better servants for you after we've worshiped here this morning. So we just ask your blessing on this time together as we continue in our service, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in the 25th chapter of the book of Psalms. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in thee I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Yea, let none that wait for thee be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day long. Be mindful of thy mercy, O Lord, and of thy steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, O my transgressions, according to thy steadfast love, remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Let us pray. Father, we open your word to remember. We open your word because you remember. And we ask that you'll remind us again today of what you were willing to do to grant us salvation. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So it is Good Friday. Interesting term, Good Friday. Someone is killed on a day. We call it a Good Friday. But it's not just about the killing. It is amazing to consider the fact that the scripture says they crucified him, but he was yet alive. They crucified him, it says. They put him on the cross. They crucified him. It was a process. It wasn't a one-time thing. When someone was crucified, they were put on the cross to die. When they crucified Jesus, they put him on the cross to die. It is interesting to also consider the fact that there were choices made prior to Jesus' crucifixion. One, Jesus came to prove that he loved people, to prove that God loved people, and to prove that he was there to show us the Father and to give us salvation. That's why he came. Is there a crime in that? Can you imagine your children complaining that you fed them, you clothed them, you gave them a room, you helped them buy their first car, and they complained the whole way? Everything that Jesus did, it seemed people complained about. So here he comes to the place. He spends last night, Thursday night, with his disciples, reminding them of what was going to happen. Reminding them of why he came to earth. Reminding them that he was here to die, to save us from our sins. And they still did not understand that. We know the story, how he goes before Pontius Pilate, he goes before Caiaphas, he gets thrown around, and here's a first interesting choice, I think, that is made in the process of Jesus' crucifixion. They had a choice to make. Pilate tried to do something that would make the people like him, so he would release one person every Passover. Recall, the Passover was a promise that God made that if they put blood on the doorpost, when the angel of death came, when they were in Egypt, whoever was in a home where blood was on the doorpost would be spared. That's what the Passover reminded the Jewish nation of. God's grace, God's mercy. So Pilate saying, well, let's release a prisoner. So here are your choices. Jesus, perfect, kind, healing people, doing good for people, helping people in every situation. On the other hand, there's Barabbas. Barabbas, a rebel, a murderer, someone that the Romans hated because he would incite people to fight the Romans. Barabbas or Jesus? What would your choice be? Before you answer so quickly, Do we choose Jesus in every situation, or do we choose ourselves? Our will, what we want to do, what we think is right, how we think things should be going, or do we choose what Jesus says is? So the people said, we want Barabbas. They were incited by the religious leaders, get Barabbas. The day is coming, the Bible tells us, when some will want to lead people away from Christ, citing religious freedoms, citing this is what God would want us to do. We should become one and do what God wants us to do. Will we forget Jesus? So they chose Barabbas. Barabbas is walking away free, maybe planning who he's going to murder next. We don't know. And here is Jesus. What should we do with Jesus? Should we beat him? Should we let him go? And the crowds yelled, crucify him. Crucify him. Remember, he saved the children of Israel. He carried them through the wilderness. He granted them freedom in the promised land. He provided manna in the desert. He provided water from the rocks. Remember what Jesus did for the children of Israel, but now crucify him. Why do they want to crucify him? Because he's telling them this is the way God wants you to be, not what man is telling you to be. The choice is, am I going to follow God or follow man? Remember, Jesus is trying to get them to be more godlike. So here they say, well, crucify him. Because he calls himself the King of the Jews. Was he the King of the Jews? Most definitely he was. Not in their mind, but he was their ruler. He was the one from the beginning when God says, I want to be your God. The Jewish people says, but we want a king. Give us a king. We want a king. And they were warned, but you know what the king is going to do? The king is going to charge you taxes. The king is going to take your children and make them slaves. The king is going to do all of this. We prefer a king than God who loves you? We want a king. Because somehow we like to see what we see, thinking if we can see it, then we can believe it. God has given us enough evidence of who he is. Remember, from the beginning, God has always given us evidence of who he is. He has always given us evidence of his love. When Adam and Eve sinned, remember who came looking for them? Jesus came looking for Adam and Eve. Hey guys, where are you? If you have grandchildren or great, 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 great grandchildren, they love to play hide and go seek. What does a child always do when you play hide and go seek? Let's see if we all get the same answer. What do they always do? Hide. Where? In the same place. They hide in the same place. See if you can find me. Let me see what I can do. Maybe they think we're so old we don't remember. Ha ha. They hid. Jesus came looking for them. Remember, that's who our God is. So here he is. They're told they're going to sacrifice him. They're going to crucify him. The Passover lamb is supposed to be presented to remind them of God's grace and mercy, and they're going to kill the Passover lamb. So he's on the cross. First choice, Barabbas or Jesus, they choose Barabbas. Set him free, give him the opportunity to save us. No, we got to kill him. If we kill him, then we all can survive. The religious leader said, it's better for one man to die than for all of us to die. Little did they realize how true that really is. One man, Jesus dying for all of us, makes all the difference. So now he's on the cross, and the world is next to him. Huh? What do you mean by that? Jesus is on the cross, and the world is next to him. One part of the world, the other part of the world, right next to him. One part of the world says, listen, if you're all that you say you are, if you're so powerful, if you are God, if, come down and save me as well. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to worship you. I just want to be safe. I just want to be saved. So if you are who you say you are, come down, save yourself, and save me as well. One part of the world. One part of the world really wants nothing to do with God, except they want all of his blessings. Can you imagine your child not wanting to keep any of your rules, but wanting the blessings of being in your home? Now I know it's tough for us. We grew up with our father or mother that says, this is my house. And when you're in my house, you remember that. This is God's house. This world is God's domain. The devil thought he took over. The devil thought it's his, but when Jesus died on the cross, the devil lost all that power. But still, one part of the world says, I really don't want anything to do with you, God, but be nice to me. When things are good, we thank ourselves for working so hard and being so strong and being so smart. But when things go bad, who do people blame? God, how could you do this to me? And God is saying, you want nothing to do with me. I didn't do anything to you. You did whatever you did, and I allowed you. Remember, God never forces any of us to do anything we don't want to do, because he loves us. He cares for us. One part of the world wants nothing to do with God. Then there's the other part of the world that says, you know, I deserve everything I'm getting. I deserve to be on this cross. I deserve to be going through whatever situation I'm going through because my choices have led me to this place. My choices have created the life that I currently have. My choices and this world of sin puts me at this place. But how does this other person, this other part of the world react opposite to what the first person did? He says, Lord, I deserve what I have. He spoke to the other part of the world and says, man, be quiet. We deserve to be here. This man is innocent. We deserve everything that's happening to us. He does not. That's what the other thief was saying. Could you imagine this man, not being a Christian, we can say, was witnessing to the other part of the world? God gives us a commission. Remember, he asked us to go and tell the world the good news. Go and tell the world what Jesus has done for you, what he wants to do for them. That's what he said. Man, leave the man alone. Some of you may not know this about me, but I used to play hockey. You may not have seen me on TV. I was in Alabama going to school, 40 miles from where the KKK started. And I was the only person that looked like me when I was playing hockey down there. There was one man that kept coming after me all night long, trying to hit me, pester me, and I just kept dodging him because I was there to play hockey, not to get in trouble. Okay. Finally, I said, okay, I'm done. This is too much. So he was coming after me again. I saw him, and I skipped aside and allowed his momentum, wink, wink, to push him into the walls, into the boards. He dropped his gloves, and I said in my mind, this is not going to be good. However, all of the other players, thank God, said to that fella, listen, you leave. You have been bothering this man all night. He's done nothing wrong. You leave. The thief on the cross says, you leave him alone. He's done nothing wrong. Remember, this thief may have heard about Jesus. This thief may have had someone tell him what Jesus had done. May. But at this moment, as he's getting ready to die, this thief says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, forgive me for what I have done. Jesus, I trust and believe in you. Jesus, please save me in your kingdom. Now, those are the words that are said. I'm wondering if partially the thief was still thinking that Jesus could potentially come down, beat up the Romans, and set up a kingdom on earth. But as we read the scripture, it seems he really understood what he was asking of God. He really understood that Jesus was not just an earthly kingdom to be. Jesus was not just an earthly ruler. Jesus was God, and there was something special about him. So he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, there's an interesting thing that happens here. Biblically speaking, there's a little comma in there, just a little comma. The comma can say so much in different ways. A professor said in his class, I'm going to write these words on the board, and I like the women to put a comma wherever they would like to, and I like the men to put a comma wherever they'd like to. And here are the words. Woman without her man is nothing. Woman without her man is nothing. So the men, the professor thought it would be cute, so he had all the men do their comma. And all the men did this comma. Woman, without her man, comma, is nothing. All the men did that. So the professor said to the women, what would you do now with your comma? woman, comma, without her man is nothing. A comma. So many people read and understand when the Greek was written, they didn't have commas and all that stuff that we use today. So many people read this text where it says, Jesus said, I say unto you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise. Or, I say unto you today, I say unto you, comma, today you will be with me in paradise. That's how most texts are written. I say unto you, comma, today you will be with me in paradise. Biblically speaking, did Jesus go to paradise on Friday? Biblically speaking, no. The Bible continues, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. It says it was a preparation day, and he went into the tomb. And the Bible says early on the first day of the week, he was resurrected. So I don't think Jesus would say to the thief on Friday, today you're going to be with me in the kingdom. Today you're going to be with me in paradise, if Jesus wasn't going himself. But he said to him, today, my son, your sins are forgiven. I've got your back. I love you. That's what Jesus said. Maybe you don't read that in the Bible, but that's what he said. I was there. Thank you for being so kind. After Jesus said these words to the thief, I can imagine the weight that fell off his shoulders. I can imagine how at peace he must have been. This other world part, he's still fighting. He's still fussing. He's still yelling. He's still cussing. I have no right to be up here. I shouldn't be up here. Get me down from here. This man's at peace because he has found his Savior. Remember me, he said. Remember this also. When Jesus was on the cross, this man's at peace. This man is still fussing. Jesus says, Father, I hope you remember me. Wait, you guys didn't read that in the scripture? Father, do you remember me? Jesus asked the question, why have you forsaken me? To forsake means to forget, to not pay attention to. And I really believe as we read this text and we read the context, I believe it should have read like this, and I'm not changing the Bible, so don't tell anybody I did this. Father, I feel so forsaken. Father, I feel like you have forgotten me. Father, I feel that maybe you're not paying attention. Just like he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking God, pass this cup from me if possible. Remove this cup from me if possible. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And it is in that same context that then Jesus could say, Father, I know you love me, and I know you love what I'm doing. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. They never understood what they were doing. And it's not so much about sin at this point. Here they were killing the Lamb of God, and I don't think they realized that's what they were doing. Because the Jewish religion, the people were still thinking to go and sacrifice the Passover lamb. That was a Passover day. They were going to kill the lamb, thanking God for his forgiveness. And God is reminding us that it's not about what we do, it's about what Jesus did on the cross. Remember, it was only because of what Jesus did on the cross that we sit here today. It is only because of what Jesus did on the cross that we have the ability to trust and love him and to find forgiveness from him. So, Father, forgive them, for they really don't understand what they're doing. And then he said those words, it is finished. It is as if he is saying to the world, and especially to the devil, you're done. You're done, man. There's nothing more you can do because I am dying to save everybody. It is finished. The work of salvation was done on the cross. That is why in the temple, the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, where only the most or the high priest could go once a year on the Day of Atonement, that temple, that curtain, was torn in two. There is no longer the need for that sacrament. There is no longer the need for that sacrifice. There is no longer the need to do that because the ultimate atonement came through Jesus Christ. Atonement, break it down, at one meant for us. God made it possible so that we could be one with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. So Good Friday is a good day. It's an exciting day because Jesus said, it is finished. Your salvation is available. Now it's your choice. Now it's your choice. From Adam and Eve to us today, it is always about our choice. I am sure if I said to you today, listen, over here there's $1 million. Over here there are 2 pennies. Oh, let's give it much. Over here there's a toonie. $1 million or a toonie. Please leave the toonie alone and take the $1 million. And yet all of you walk up to grab the toonie. Would that make any sense? Oh, I mean, unless you already have $1 million, I guess you don't need that. But Jesus offered that to Adam and Eve. Leave that one tree alone. Everything else is yours. He offers us today, leave your worries and your cares, your sins, leave it all. And remember, I died to save you. Remember, I care about you. Remember me, Jesus says, because that's who I am and that's what I've done for you. I'd like to share a song for you. It is a song written from the perspective of the thief on the cross as he says to Jesus, remember me. A thief lay dying on a cross. And he knew. I'm singing with myself there. Thought I'd grab the right one. Give me a moment, please. Unless you prefer to hear that guy than me. thief lay dying on a cross, and he knew all along that he had done wrong, and for his sin he must die. And as he turned, he saw the Christ with his blood flowing down. He knew he had found the one who could save his soul. So he cried, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom, O Lord. Remember me when you talk to your Father. Tell him that I know I've not been all he wants me to be, but in mercy now I plead. Lord, remember me." Then Jesus said, "Have no fear, son, you shall be with me eternally. It is for you that I die. And now I know Christ lives again, and he stands all alone before that white throne. With his own precious blood he covers me. So I cry, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom, O Lord. Remember me when you talk to your Father. Tell him that I know I have not been all he wants me to be, but in mercy now I plead. Lord, remember me." Remember me when you talk to your Father. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Tell God I know I've not been all he wants me to be, but in mercy now I plead. Lord, remember me. Remember me.
Scripture says, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in linen shroud and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever yet been laid. It was a day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. Jesus was put in a tomb. The Jews hoped, the religious leaders hoped, that would be the end of it. but they weren't quite so sure. So they asked the Romans to put a sentry, put 100 guards, lock up that tomb so he couldn't get out. Lock up that tomb so that his disciples wouldn't take his body. See, he is risen. Remember, God promised, promised that he would be resurrected again. And with that same promise, he reminds us today, don't give up on God. Don't allow anybody to take away your faith. Don't allow anyone to crucify Christ over and over and over again in your life. Remember what God has done for you and wallow in that. Wallow in the joy of his love and mercy and know that he cares for you more than anyone else. So that's why we celebrate Good Friday. Nothing good we did, but the only option we have now is to accept what he has done for us and live according to his will in our lives. That's my prayer for each one of us today. Remember him as he remembers you.